Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Also, that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we can be known as a people of joy, Lord. I pray that we can have joy in our hearts. We can be rejoicing, lifting up your name, Lord, throughout the day. I pray, Lord, as we come to your house, that we come to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a really quick review of the book of Nehemiah. I know that those who are here this morning that you've been attending faithful here on Sunday mornings, but just to kind of catch up to where we're at, Nehemiah received news that the walls of Jerusalem have been burnt down and that they're broken down, burnt with fire, and so he prayed. And God allowed him to go back to Jerusalem, and he rallied up the people, and the people said, let's rise up and build. And in 52 days, miraculously, they built up the walls, and through many trials, they built them up in just 52 days. And then we find they called Ezra to bring the book of the law, where they listened to the reading of the book of the law from morning till midday. And the people, they came under conviction, and they repented of their sins, and they made a choice to follow God. We find a great revival. And they signed an oath, and they decided they were going to keep the commandments and statutes and the judgments of the Lord. Then it was time for them to move in the city, and they cast lots, and some of them, the Bible said, were willingly offered themselves to dwell in the city. Now, last week, we preached on offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, and pretty much the gist of it was, is giving your whole life of being a living sacrifice, is that a reasonable thing to do? You know, is that something that's reasonable? That's something within reason? Or is that something excessive? You know, or is that, and, you know, we come to the conclusion of because of what Jesus Christ had done for us, yes, that is a reasonable thing for us to give our lives to God. Now, today, I'm going to talk about the joy of a Christian. The title of my sermon is The Joy of Dedication. The Joy of Dedication. You know, church should be a joyful place. Should be a place of joy. You know, should be something you think like, I'm going to come to church and it's joyful. I want to come. You ever heard the song? I'm sorry, I know I have, you know, growing up, you know. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Then it goes, the next verse is, he fills my heart with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. You know, and the last one is he gives me living water and I thirst no more. You know, that song, the words, you know, the joy of the Lord, my strength, actually comes from Nehemiah. It comes from Nehemiah chapter 8 in verse 10. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and spend portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It said, neither be ye sorry. You know, a lot of sorry people around. He said, you don't need to be sorry. He said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here in chapter 12, we read about the people. They're rejoicing. They're singing songs. They're praising God. They're giving thanks as they dedicate the walls of Jerusalem to the Lord. Look in verse 27 in Nehemiah chapter 12. It says, and at the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with the thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps. And the sons, the singers, gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Naphtali, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall towards the dung gate. So here we find that they were dedicating the walls of Jerusalem, dedicating the walls they had built, and they split into these two groups. And as they split into these two groups, they They marched around the walls. They met here at the temple, and they dedicated the walls. They sang. They sang songs. They played instruments. They gave thanks. This was a celebration. This is a joyous time, the time of rejoicing. In fact, in verse 42, you know, it says towards the end of the verse, it says, and the singers sang loud. In verse 43, it says also that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoiced, for God made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. The Bible says that they were just, I mean, they were having a good time. I mean, they were singing praise to God. They were thanking the Lord for all of his provisions. They were thanking the Lord for all that he's done. They were just, you know, they were grateful. And they were singing these praises. And the Bible says they were singing loud, and the people heard from afar off. I mean, they were heard from all over. They were just exciting, have a good time of rejoicing. You know, I think about many people, they view church. And I mean, maybe that's why there's not a whole lot of people here today. Because a lot of people view church as just something to endure. You know, they think of church as just something, you know, as in a place where they go just to be obedient to God. You know, they come out of necessity. Like this is this great, so like this somber event they have to attend. You know, however, church shouldn't be a chore. It should be something that brings us joy. In fact, you look back at the early church, I mean, they were visiting, they were meeting together every day. Every chance they got, they came together, you know, to be able to hear the word of God preached, and they rejoiced. That's one reason why we sing in church. We sing in church because, you know, if you're like bummed out and just down, you're not like singing songs and stuff, you know. No, you sing as in you're showing your joy and you're excited and there's gladness that's there. You know, it's you know, I find that when I'm excited, when I'm happy, when I have joy, you know, that I'm singing a hymn or I'm singing a, you know, something like that, you know, excited, you know. This week we went to church. My family and I went to church every day except for Saturday. You know, we went out to Sydney, drove out to Sydney. There's a revival going on, and we went out to church. You know, it wasn't because we had to go. We wanted to go. You know, we looked forward to going. There's a revival going on. You know, 40 minutes away. Let's go to it. You know, it was something that we enjoyed. We sang songs. We praised the Lord. We heard some preaching. The Lord spoke to us throughout that meeting. We had fellowship. You know, we had food. Amen. And we got in the book. And it was a time of rejoicing. You know, I talk to my kids. I want my kids to enjoy going to church. I don't enjoy, you know, we're going to, you know, they're like, oh, whenever I say we're going to go to church, you know, they're like, what church? Grandpa's church or the church where there's food or the church? Every church, they have something like that's linked in with what church it is. And the church that they were talking about the church with food, that was a revival because they had these vegetable trays right at the end. And so they were all excited. You know, they wanted to go, to church. You know, I preached there on Thursday night. And I preached a sermon out of Matthew 18 where two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst, you know. And I mean, this is just a small church, you know, like ours, you know. And I just felt the Lord place on my heart. This is what I need to preach. This is the message for them, you know. And, you know, I'm glad I did because it just reminded me just this morning. And I think, hey, we come here to meet with Jesus. This is should be a time of joy. You thinking, hey, we get to go to church. It doesn't matter if there's three people here. It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people here. When we come to meet with Jesus, hey, it can be an exciting time. Well, I preached this message, and this lady came to me, an older lady came to me after church, and she grabbed my hand, was holding my hand, and she looked at me. I mean, her face was just glowing. And I met with Jesus tonight. I mean, she got it, you know. She was there. I mean, I'm sure there was someone else. I'm sure there was a couple other people probably in the auditorium that were like, that guy's not a very good preacher, man. It wasn't a very good sermon, you know. They didn't meet with Jesus. You know, they didn't have that joy. Well, I want you to understand, hey, going to church ought to be a time of joy. It ought to be something that you look forward to doing. Ever feel that? Ever feel that you go to church and it's a place of joy? You know, if you're thankful, you will. You know, you have that understanding of who God is, what he's done for you, and you have that joy. The purpose of coming to church, you come to church, you edify one another, you encourage each other. You know, I think of Hebrews 10:25, where it says, assembling yourselves together. You know, as we see that we come together to encourage one another. You know, it's not a punishment, you know. It's not something that we have to, we're like God's going to punish us and we have to make sure we go to church, you know, once a week. And if we don't, he's going to beat us up, you know, whatever. You know, we go to church, it should be something that we want to do. You know, I don't understand. I don't know, I just don't get this. I don't understand why I have to go out and visit someone, a Christian, go to their house and encourage them to come to church. Why would I have to do that? If it's a place of joy, why wouldn't they just want to be here? Why do I have to encourage people to come to Sunday school or to come to Wednesday night or come to a Sunday night? Wouldn't that be something that they would want to do? You know, I mean, you think about it. Hey, it's a place of joy. Hey, shouldn't this place of joy, place that people just say, hey, I want to be at church. Shouldn't be somewhere to, you know, twist people's arms and beg them to come and tell them we're going to have a dinner after and be able to get them to come to church. You know, it should be a place of joy. You know, many churches, they got rid of their Sunday night services and their Wednesday night services. Why? Because no one wants to come. I mean, that's sad. It's sad that church, we had to beg people to come to church. You know, people don't have week-long revivals anymore because they're afraid that no one will come to church because there's something more interesting on TV or something, or they're too busy to come out to a revival. Church ought to be considered a place of joy. It's sad. It's sad that it's not. You know, I'm glad that my children. I was actually at the park the other day, and I was talking to this one guy who I worked with, you know, and I met him there, and I had been witness to him in the past, and he asked me, you know, he had his daughter was there playing in the playground. He goes, do your kids like church? You know, and I just thought that was an odd question, you know, I said, well, yeah, you know, yeah, and he's like, I don't think my kids like church. I'm like, well, you know, there's a problem there. Church should be something exciting. And at the same time, I did explain to them that they're not always going to have a blast. You know, there's things that they need to learn. Just like you send them to school. You don't send them to school because they just enjoy school. You send them to school because you know they need to learn. And so, your kids need to be in Sunday school. They may not love it, but they need to learn that. That's important for them, you know. My kids enjoy Sunday school. I know my daughter, she comes home and she's telling me how many Bible bucks she has, you know. And she's just excited, you know. She's excited about school. And I thank Ms. Jamie for doing Sunday school and work with them. But my kids, they look forward to church. That is something exciting for them, and it should be. You know, they ought to want to go to church, and we ought to want to go to church. You know, we had a desire, you know. I like going. When I find out a meeting's going on, you know, in a town over or something, you know, I know that sometimes I'm thinking like, well, I'm busy. You know, it's like I want to go. But I know that Satan doesn't want me there, you know. Flesh doesn't want to go there, you know. But every time I do go, I'm glad. I mean, click with people, have that fellowship, you know, hear some good preaching, you know, and you just meet with the Lord. You know, church ought to be a joyous thing. When they met together in the Bible, as they met together on the Lord's Day, they met together. Hey, it wasn't something that they were going out of necessity. Yes, they did need to go, and yes, they're commanded to go, but it was something they wanted to be there. They wanted to hear. Hey, I think Brother Justin, he was teaching, he was talking about they would go, you know, Jesus would go early in the morning in the temple, and there were people there waiting to be taught. I mean, people were just at church waiting to hear the word of God. They're at church waiting to, you know, or the temple. They're waiting to receive a message that, hey, it was an exciting thing. How come? How come joy is not, our church isn't always exciting to us? How come church isn't always a place of joy? You know, what is that? You know, Christians should be known as people with joy. You know, we ought to have joy. There ought to be joy in the life of a Christian. His life ought to be characterized by joy. Why is that? Because we have something to be happy about. Jesus has washed our sins away. He's given us his spirit. Hey, we ought to have joy. It's great to be around a person that has joy. The only time it's not good to be around a person that has joy is if you're in a bad mood and they're singing around you and you're like, would you just shut up, you know? But usually you want to be around people that are joyful. You want people that have, you know, that are in a good mood and that have that joy and they're rejoicing. Then you have people that are the opposite, that are not about joy. They're like a wet blanket, you know, like they're just there to quench the spirit. You know, you're excited, having a good time. They're just like, you know, just put the fire out. You know, you're whatever it may be. You're excited about it, and they're there to find a negative in whatever it may be. They're always looking for something that's wrong. You know, I was messing around with my dad the other day. We were talking. My dad, and my mom, they were down here, and we were just joking around about something, and we're talking about doing this remodeling project. We're like, oh, we can knock out this wall, and we can do this, and every time I said something, my dad's like, oh, you can't do that. Electrical here. Oh, you can't do that. This is a wall. This is the weight bearing wall. And I looked at him, I go, man, you're a real buzzkill, you know. just there to, and of course I'm just joking with him, you know. But yeah, some people seem like they're just there to, you know, and what a horrible way to live, to always be down about everything. You know, it's great to just see people and how exciting it is when you're around people that have that kind of joy, that are always looking for something good, you know. I mean, I hate leaving church and be like, man, attendance was down, you know, this person wasn't there. I mean, yeah, we can do that. We can beat up ourselves all day. But hey, what about the time that we spent with the Lord? What about the message that we received? What about the joy? What happened there, you know? I want to have a visitor come in. They'll be like, man, these Christians that are here, they're here and they're very joyful. They're glad that they're saved. A lot of people think of Christians as being, you know, always just, you know, mad about something. Always in a fight with never joy. You know, that's not true about biblical Christianity. Maybe true about your life, or maybe true about a coworker you know. But if you study the Word of God, you find that when a man is following God, no matter what trial he's going through, no matter what kind of health that he's in, you know, find his life is characterized by joy. I think of the Apostle Paul, you know, in Acts 16. He's in prison after being beaten up. I mean, they beat him up. You know, he's preaching out. They beat him up. They throw him in prison. He's in, like, shackles, you know. And he's there, you know, singing. He's there rejoicing, you know. I mean, we're in a little bit of debt, you know. We have car trouble. Yeah, you haven't been beaten up and thrown in prison. You know, we're like, you know, how are we going to get out of this trial? And he's in prison. After beating up, I mean, I'm sure they, you know, they probably beat him up pretty bad. You know, I mean, this isn't, it is not like today. Now they're in like cells with nice padded cells, and like, you know, you've seen some of the prisons that people are in now. I mean, they're like, you know, like country clubs. I mean, they're beautiful, but not then. You know, I'm sure. Hey, he had it rough, and he's there in prison, and what is he doing? Singing, praising God till midnight. I mean, just having a good time. You know, we can't even have a good time in church. You know, this guy's in prison just praising the Lord. We find that the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he wrote in a prison epistle there in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Here the Apostle Paul, he's in prison. And he's talking about how people are trying to add to his afflictions. There are other Christians that are going out, or so-called Christians, that are going out and they're trying to add to his affliction. Whether, I don't know how they were doing that. The Bible doesn't make that specific in how they were doing that. But somehow they were trying to make it worse on Paul. Other believers, whether they were jealous because they didn't have the type of ministry that he had or what it was, we find that although they were trying to add to his afflictions, Paul said he's just going to continue to rejoice in the gospel is being preached. He's in prison. Christians are mocking him, you know, or are trying to put him down to add to his affliction, but yet he rejoices. He rejoices. You know, church, it shouldn't be a chore. You know, as a Christian, that we should have joy. We should have joy. You know, if you're saved, you know what the Bible says? It says that you have the possibility of endless joy. The possibility of endless joy. Before I get into that verse, when I was studying this, it's just amazing how this works out, you know. I was studying this and I was thinking, you know, the past couple weeks as Brother Justin was doing Sunday school, he kept on coming across different, you know, every time it was like somehow his Sunday school lesson and my sermon, they were connected in some way. you know, and it always got some kind of scripture, some kind of verse out of it, you know. But then I got to this, I'm thinking, I'm preaching on joy. I looked at his title of his lesson, it was teamwork, and I'm thinking, not this week. Sure enough, I'm preaching on joy is teamwork. The first thing he starts talking about is how murmuring in the Bible used over 40 times, never in a good way. People complaining, people murmuring, people, you know, and then he got into the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and here, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, in fact, this is our memory verse, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. That means that if we're walking with God, if we're Spirit-filled, then this is going to come out. You know, this is what we're going to produce. We're going to produce joy in our life. We find that, hey, we can, if you live a Spirit-filled life, you can always have joy. You know, as a Christian, the Bible tells us that we have the possibility of endless joy. In 1 Peter 1, it says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom through now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with unspeakable and full of glory. Peter's talking to these persecuted believers and how they had unspeakable joy from a God in which they've never seen. You know, we can have joy from a God which we've never seen. We know that he lives because he lives within our heart. We know that he lives because we have a personal relationship with him. But one day we will see him. And we'll see him and we'll be able to look at him face to face. We'll be able to look in his nail-pierced hands. We'll be able to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. You know, we can have joy. We ought to be happy as Christians. Christians ought to be marked as the happiest people on the face of the earth. You know, we should be, and we have the ability to be. Well, how come many times we're not? How come we're not? I'm glad you asked. I love asking those questions and answering them. Works out. Well, joy comes from dedication. The reason why we don't have joy, the joy of the Lord, is because we fail to dedicate our lives to God. The word dedicate means to set apart, to consecrate to a divine being or to a sacred purpose or devote to a sacred use. You know, we often dedicate buildings or structures for particular purposes. We use the word dedicate more when we're talking about someone that's determined to accomplish a goal. They're dedicated for a purpose. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we find they're dedicating these walls, and everything within those walls will be done according to God's purpose. They've had dedicated, they're having a dedication service, and that dedication service, it was service of which where they had joy and they're rejoicing. I heard about a man who was sitting at this table along with a couple other guys. The other guys, they were there and they were playing cards or they were gambling, you know, and one of the men said, "Hey, would you like to play cards with us?" And the man said, "I don't have any hands." And of course, the guy's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm terribly sorry, you know, that's the guy that plays cards that has no hands, you know." He goes, "I'm sorry." Well, they start playing, a couple minutes go by, and the guy picks up his hands and he sets them on the table. The guy looks at him, he's like, "I thought you didn't have." And he said, "I don't. These hands are not mine. I've dedicated my hands to the glory of God, to his service, that I've been bought with a price." Think about that. He said, his hands have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." You know, our bodies are to be used for the glory of God. That's our purpose. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." The Bible says that we're to yield our members as righteous, real yield our members as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. And that's not our purpose. Well, what does this have to do with having joy? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, we often quote this verse. We usually don't look at the verse after it. It says, "For I grace you say through faith, and then not of ourselves, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, his shed blood. When we accept him, the Bible says that we are placed in Christ. When you're placed in Christ, you have a new home. Your new home is heaven. You have a new father. You have a heavenly father. You know, the Bible says before you're saved that ye are of your father, the devil. There in John 8:44. So that we have a purpose. We have a new purpose. Our purpose is not to live for ourselves. Our purpose is not a selfish life. Our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to live for the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus, of Jesus Christ, once for all. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are placed in Christ, that we are sanctified. That we're sanctified, it means to be set apart, all right? It means to be set apart for a specific purpose, that we're that God has sanctified us, you know, and he's given us a purpose, he's given us a reason to live, and, you know, which that word sanctified, it's very similar to the same definition of being dedicated, to also being set apart for a divine purpose, you know, that our bodies are created, our lives are given to us for a purpose, you know, for a purpose in mind, that God has, that we're saved to be workmen. We're saved to serve him. We're saved to glorify God. Just as we built, and I love that illustration of the sanctuary. Just we built this, well, we didn't build it. I'm sure Ms. Verna's husband had a Martin, right? I'm sure he did a lot of work in building this and helping and remodeling and all that. You know, and they built this room, the sanctuary, for the purpose of preaching the word of God. They built this so that the gospel could be preached. That was the purpose for this. Now, we could go and we could put a basketball hoop back in the back. And in the front, we can try and play basketball in here. But we would hit the ceiling with the ball. There wouldn't be enough room on the sides. It would be very frustrating. It would be hard to do. It wouldn't work. You know, that's not the purpose in which this building was made. Well, the Bible says that we're created to serve God and to live for him. You know, we don't have to live for God. We're not forced to. But if we don't, and we use our body as instruments of unrighteousness, we use our bodies for something to glorify ourselves or to glorify sin, guess what? It's going to be frustrating. It's not going to work out. We're not going to have that joy because we're not going to be being used for what God has created us for. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As Moses, you know the story of Moses. He was placed in that little ark there, floated down the river. Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she decided that she wanted to live. So she had actually Pharaoh's Moses' mother help raise them. And as Moses got older, living there in, you know, Pharaoh's palace, he realized he was a little different. You know, he began to feel a little uncomfortable there. Yes, he had it made. Yes, he had all the riches. He had everything he wanted, you know. But he looked at it and he said, wait, he said, this isn't me. He said, my people are God's people, and I was created to serve God and to live for God. And so Moses made a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know, he said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. And, you know, think about it. Did Moses miss out by choosing to leave, you know, Pharaoh's home? Yeah, he missed out on, you know, on easy living, you know, a little bit, you know, on some food or whatever, you know. But look at what God did with him. Look at the miracles, how God used him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and cross the Red Sea and taking them through the wilderness, you know. And now, course, he's with the Lord. You know, when you think about that, you think, wow, what you know, that God had a plan for his life, and Moses figured out that plan. He figured out what God's purpose was for him. Hey, and that's the only way you're going to have joy, when you find out God's purpose, and God's purpose is for you to glorify God with your life. There's no other way to have joy. That joy comes from God. Sin is pleasure for a season, you know, but only for a season. You know, there's joy. With the joy that comes from God, there's no guilt, there's no consequences, there's no hurt when it comes from God. I remember I was 18 years old, and I was going to places I shouldn't go, doing things I shouldn't do. But I remember all the while I was doing those things, you know, I was having fun, but there was, you know, but there was something inside, something that just, I didn't feel quite comfortable. Yeah, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't feel like I belonged there. I didn't feel like I belonged doing those things. And the reason why is because I'm sanctified. Sanctified in Christ. That's not what my body, and that's not what I'm created for. As once you're saved, then God has a new purpose for you. And yeah, you can try and go out and run from God and live for God, and you'll have some pleasure, but only for a season. But I want you to understand, that's not the purpose that God created you for. Purpose that my body is to glorify God. Unless I'm living for God, I will not have joy. I'll not have the fruit of the Spirit. I'll be frustrated. I'll be depressed. I'll be uncomfortable. And when you're not, you know, that's when you're not being what God called you to be. You know, you think, well, so many people, Christians, and you wonder why these people are so down, and why are they having so many struggles in their life? It's because they're not doing what they've been called to do. If you want joy, you need to dedicate yourself to Christ, to live for Him. Your testimony should be the same as that man that said, I don't have any hands. What hands? I don't have hands. My hands are for the Lord, for doing the work of God. A mouth? I don't have a mouth. I don't allow corrupt communication. I don't allow to spread gossip. My tongue's been given to God, to praise Him, to witness for Him. A mind? I don't have a mind. Crazy. My mind's not to think about things I shouldn't think about, not to have dirty thoughts, not to have lust. No, my mind's, you know, dedicated to God, to think on good things, to think on things of virtue, of good report. My eyes, I don't have any eyes. My eyes, they belong to God. My eyes need to stay pure. My eyes need to look to the Lord. I don't have any feet. You know, my legs, these legs are given to me to take me to church. These legs are given to me to take me to be able to witness, to go out and preach the gospel. My heart ought to be God's. I ought to set my affections on things above, not on things of this world. My ears are God's. I ought to listen to Him. Shall allow my things to come in my ears that would hurt the Savior. You know, if you don't have joy, well, if you do that, if you do dedicate your body as instruments unto God, unto righteousness, then you'll have joy. You know, you'll have a song of praising God and thanking God. Let me give you an example of the joy of dedication. Turn over to John chapter 17. John 17:17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. The Bible says that Jesus, He sanctifies Himself. That word sanctified, once again, it means to be set apart for a purpose. Christ sanctifying Himself is sanctifying Himself to do God's will. He's setting Himself apart to die on the cross for our sins, to pay for our sins. You know, and by Him sanctifying Himself, the Bible said that that they also might be sanctified through the truth. He said that by him sanctifying himself to go to the cross and die on the cross for our sins, we can be sanctified. We can be saved, and we can be sanctified. And the Bible says through truth. Through truth. You find what is the truth? The Bible says thy word is truth. Through the word of God, we hear the word of God. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and when we can be sanctified in Christ. So Jesus Christ, he sanctified himself to go to the cross. Now, we'll look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did the Father's will by going to the cross. He sanctified himself to the cross. He dedicated himself to go to the cross for our sins. He thought it was worth it because the joy that he had, you know, making it possible to give us eternal life. You know, think about how he thought we were worth his suffering, we were worth his shame. You know, Jesus Christ sanctifying himself to the cross. And that brought him joy, you know. We sanctify ourselves through the work of the Lord, you know, and yes, there's going to be some persecution, yes, there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some suffering. Hey, but that's what brings joy. Hey, that's going to bring some joy in our life. Just like it brought joy in the life of Christ, he said that he got to die for our sins. You know, the past four or five sermons, they really come together. As you look, you find the people that they got back to the book of the law, and they heard the word of God. A revival seemed to break out as they repented of their sins. They decided to follow God. And then we find the joy that it brought. You know, everyone's searching for joy. I mean, everyone. That's, you know, the pursuit of happiness. Everyone's looking just to be happy. Everyone's looking for that joy. And people look in all different places. People think, well, it's that, you know, it's that new video game system, or it's get a different wife, or a new car, or a new job, or whatever it may be. And they, you know, but that's not where joy, yes, you're going to have some temporary happiness and all that, but that's not where joy comes from. Joy comes from the Lord. And the only way that you're going to have that joy is if you dedicate yourself and you give your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Joy comes from living a dedicated life. You know, if you don't have joy, I think all you have to do is just search yourself. Say, what am I not giving to God? What am I holding back? You know, you'll find your problem. You know, I want joy. I want to come to church. I want to look forward to church. I want to look forward to reading my Bible. I want to look forward to prayer. I want to look, you know, hey, and that all comes, hey, you have joy. You're thankful. You realize what God did for it. And like I say, it doesn't matter if this place is packed out. Yeah, it's always more exciting. You know, you go to any event and there's more people there and it's like, wow. But I want it to just not just be because it's an emotion thing of people all around. I want it to be because I'm really meeting with God. Because my heart's right. Because my life is dedicated to God. You know. And, you know, we can have a great time in church. We can serve the Lord. We can grow. And when we get that joy, you know, it's gonna be appealing to the world. Because they want joy too. You know, they want to have that joy. So remember that as you come to church. Hey, you ought to want to come. Why? Because it's a place of joy. If it's not joyful, it's not my problem. It's not my fault, you know. It's not the guy's fault next to you, although he may be a buzzkill or whatever, you know. But it's you. It's your heart, you know. Let's stand as we pray.